Keegan, good morning. Good to see everybody here this morning. Again, my name is John Ashley. I'm going to ask my wife if she'll stand. This is my beautiful wife of 41 years, Joanne. We thank the Lord for her. Wait a minute, I come up here to preach. I thank you very much. Yeah, I do count it an honor to be here. Pastor Stewart called me a while back. I'll tell you a little bit about our son. But out on the table, out in the foyer there, there's a book that my wife and I wrote called In Spite Of. And it's the story of our son, John, who for 28 years, we were privileged to be his caregivers. And the Lord took him home back October 3rd of 2015. But he taught us many, many lessons. Johnny was an inspiration to so many people that, and folks tried to tell us for years, you need to write a book, you need to write a book while Johnny was alive. And it was shortly after Johnny's homegoing that God spoke to my heart and said, it's time to write the book now. So we've gotten together, and it took us about, not quite a year. We wrote the book and mailed a copy to your pastor. And he had planned this day to have a special day, and it was just seemed to be the will of God that I would come today and I would speak and let you know a little bit about John. But these books are on the table out in the lobby there for $10 each. They're $14.95 on Amazon. So you're getting a deal today. So they're $10 for a book, two for 20, and three for 30. If you so to decide to buy that, that's the Blue Light Special here at Mayfair Bible Church this morning. I want to share a story with you about our son. It's going to give you a little bit of an idea of what Johnny was like. Johnny was a clock watcher. Johnny was deaf, and he would always watch. He wanted to know what time we were doing this, what time we were doing that, when this was over, and when that's over. He was always watching the clock. So every once in a while, I would get the opportunity to go fill a pulpit in another church. This is years ago. And went and filled a pulpit in a church that was in a one-room schoolhouse. And my wife was sitting in the front row, and Johnny was up there with her. And I was preaching. I mean, man, I was preaching. I was shucking the corn, buddy. I mean, I was on fire, right? And I'm coming to the end of my message. Well, there's one very important fact that we forgot to tell our son John was church started at 10:30. Which doesn't mean a whole lot to you folks, but our normal church started at 10:30. This church started at 11. But we were there for Sunday school, and time kind of got away from them. And so our church normally was done well before noon. I'm coming to the end of my message, and it's almost 12 o'clock. And I'm preaching away, and all of a sudden, out of the corner of my eye, I see Johnny go like this. And then look at me. And I'm going, oh boy, this is not going to end well. And I'm almost to the end of my message. I'm wrapping it up, and the crowd's really paying attention to me, and I'm really going to bring this invitation and going to pull everything together. And then I see Johnny look at his mother, and then he looks at his watch again, and then he looks up at me, and this is his personality. He picked up his watch just like this. Pointed at it and goes, ah! I tried to ignore him, but it was to no avail. It was to no avail. The whole church is laughing. They're all looking at Johnny. No one's paying any attention to me. We might as well pray and close the service. Amen. Well, after the service was over, one of the deacons came up to me and said, you know, brother, we'd love to have you come back and preach again. I said, that's great. He says, as long as you bring your boy with you, we'll... Well, we'd love to have you back again. Amen. May 1st, 1987 was the day that Johnny was born. My wife and I had gotten right about a year and a half earlier, gotten right with the Lord. My wife had trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior, and we got into church. We got in with both feet. We were busy serving, doing what we could, as baby Christians, really. And then that morning, on May 1st, 1987, Johnny came into the world and changed our life. He was born with a hole in his face where his upper lip should have been. He was born, he was wall-eyed. Both his eyes, wall-eyed's the opposite of being cross-eyed, both eyes going in two different directions. And there was obviously some things that were seriously wrong with this new child that had just come into our life. Now, you talk about something that shakes your faith, amen. We had been serving God. We'd been doing everything we were supposed to do, following the Lord, being faithful to church, and yet this comes into our life. We had a decision to make that day. Just like every one of us in this room have to decide to follow Jesus. You sang about it just a minute ago. We had to decide whether or not God brought this into our life for a reason, or we could choose the route that a lot of people choose. Well, this is something that God could have prevented, and why did he allow it to come into our life? Well, we decided that day to continue to follow the Lord, go forward following Christ as best we could. We could have become bitter. We could have quit on God. We could have quit serving the Lord. We could have even walked away from our faith. And you know what? Most people would not have blamed us. Oh, how could God do this in your life? Over the next few months and really the next few years, we faced those same choices over and over again. See, Johnny had many, many medical problems. He had well over 40 surgeries in his lifetime. We kind of lost count, some major, some minor. But every time your child goes under anesthesia, friend, it's major in your life. He had two heart valves replaced. He had a kidney transplant. He had a diaphragmatic hernia. Johnny was 4'6" at 28 years old. He had kyphosis of the spine. He had just a lot of things that we constantly were going to the hospital, going to doctor's appointments, and we were constantly having to decide, hey, did God bring this into our life for a reason, or are we going to get bitter with God and not trust him any longer? We had to see Johnny's medical issues not as problems that needed to be dealt with, but opportunities to experience the grace of God. Every one of us in this room come up on those same decisions all the time, don't we? We're going to either follow Christ and do what he wants us to do, or we're going to go ahead and chuck it all and say, this just isn't fair. We need to follow the Lord. When life-changing events happen in our lives, we're either going to see them as God sees them, or we're going to reject them as a problem that we cannot deal with. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts." In order to thrive in the midst of our trials in life, we have to get a godly perspective. We have to begin to look at things in our life, look in situations in our life as the Lord will look at them. Not only as individuals, but as a church collectively, Mayfair, you need to come together and look at things from a godly point of view, get a perspective what God values. And a lot of times, that's not what we value. We need to adopt God's values. First of all, the value of the body. Pastor Keegan, he read from 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, talking about the gifts of the spiritual gifts that are in the church and the importance of every member in the church. Every person in the church is important. God has great value on every person that is there, that is here in the church. He compares the church and God's people to a body, our body, our physical body. And the importance of every part of our body is important, isn't it? And if one part of our body is not functioning proper, the whole body suffers. And that's what the Lord is talking about here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. You know, you and I make judgments on a daily basis. We make judgments about people. We make judgments about different things and the value that people have, even in a church setting. We can look at people in the church and decide their importance. Verse number 21, again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." Why? Because everybody's important. Every one of you that are here right now, you are important to Mayfair Bible Church. You have great value today in this church, and you need to understand that today. But we'll make judgments. You know, Johnny, his appearance would set people back a lot of times, and including the medical professionals that we had to deal with on a constant basis. Some would make judgments about Johnny's mental capability by the way that he looked. Some of them knew that Johnny was deaf. There would be an interpreter in the waiting room with the doctor, and a lot of times the doctors would never address Johnny directly. They would just talk to me and my wife because they made a judgment based on his lack of communication because he was deaf. But Johnny was very aware of what his medical situation was. We had a geneticist tell us one time he'd be lucky if he stayed at the same growth rate. He'd be lucky if he could grow up and be able to tie his shoes. Making judgments based upon what they saw. He was 6 months old when that doctor said that. He was 6 months old at the time. You know, the doctors were wrong. Amen. The doctors were wrong. In their diagnosis of Johnny, and a lot of times, they would make these judgments based upon what they saw. And you and I do the same thing, though. And a lot of times when you and I make judgments of someone else, you know what? We're wrong, too. Our diagnosis, if you will, and our judgments are wrong when we take a look at someone else. You know, Jesus spoke of a great group of people in the Word of God that outwardly, man, you would want in any church. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22 says, "Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" I mean, man, wouldn't you want to have someone that could preach? Wouldn't you want to have someone? They cast out demons. Man, they did many wonderful works. Hey, let's put them on the deacon board. Let's get them going. By the way, you know, you do tithe, right? We try to get everybody together, and this is a group of people that we would want in our church, right? But the very next verse in Matthew 7:23, it says, "And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Man. Jesus said, "Not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." You see, folks, we make judgments based upon what we see. We make judgments based upon the things that we have preconceived ideas. We have to be careful when we make judgments concerning the value of someone else. You know, many times we make judgments about our own value, about our own worth. You know, we might want to be a different part of the body. Verse number 15 in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" You know, it's like different body parts are saying, "Well, I want to be the hand, and I'm just an eye. Or I want to be the eye, but I'm just a foot." Whatever. It's different parts of the body saying, and what Jesus is trying, what the Bible's trying to get the point across to you and me is a lot of times we don't want to be where God has us. We want to do something else. We want to be involved in something grander than where we are today, because after all, pastor must not understand my value. We got to be careful with that. We've got to be careful that we don't put our value too high. I remember years ago, same church, sitting in the church, and the church had a bus ministry. And I was sitting in the pew, minding my own business, going through life saying, "You know what? I know one thing. God's not called me into the bus ministry." Amen. You know where this is going, don't you? So I'm sitting in church one day, and the pastor stands up and says, "We need a bus driver for a special day." We're having a special day. We were taking all the kids out to a circus on a Saturday. We're gonna preach the gospel to them, take them to the circus, and we had to have all these buses. And man, we're gonna pack out the buses, pack out the church, take them down to the circus. We're gonna have a great time. And I'm just sitting there thinking, "Yeah, I don't know how to drive a bus. Never drove a bus in my life." This is before the CDLs, before the state started saying you have to have a CDL, right? God spoke to my heart and says, "Yeah, but you drove a truck that's just about the same size as a bus all the time." Oh, no. This part of the body didn't want to go and serve where God told me he wanted me to serve. So finally I went up and I talked to the pastor and said, "Well, I've never drove a bus, but I can drive a truck." "Good, you're in." First time I drove a bus, and folks, I'm not lying here. I'm telling you the truth. The first time I drove a bus, there was 132 kids on a 66-passenger bus. They were packed in there so tight, their eyes were bugging out. But can I tell you, that was the quietest bus I ever drove, because they couldn't suck any wind into their lungs. They were all packed in so tight. The assistant pastor said, man, it was the funniest thing. It was like the little car in the circus where all the clowns keep coming out. He said, kids just kept coming and kept coming. Amen. But you know what? Sometimes we say, I don't want to serve here. I don't want to be the hand. I want to be the foot. Sometimes we devalue ourselves as the children of God. Well, I can't do that, just like I couldn't drive a bus. Well, I can't do this, I can't do that. But let me ask you this, are you doing what you can do? Are you doing what you can do? You know, there's even times where we devalue ourselves as a member of the body. Some of you ain't gonna like this. By laying out of church. Amen. I'm just gonna stay home today. I got other plans I want to take care of today. The body works right when all the parts are together and working, right? When one part is missing, the body does not work as well. And you diminish your own personal value by saying, hey, I'm just going to lay out of church today. Amen. That's free. It won't cost you any more. But you know, God places a very high value on the body of believers. Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus died for you. He paid the price so that you could be part of a local body of believers. It's a pretty high value. Every member is of great value in the body of Christ. So I want us to see the value, but then I want us to see the value of the body, but then I want us to see the value of the bent, the bowed, and the broken. Verse number 22, Bible says, nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I want to commend this church. I want to commend your pastor for having the vision to have a ministry to help people with special needs. You are doing something that most churches are not doing. And I want to commend you for that. I want to thank you for doing that. Having been a caregiver, having taken care of a child for 28 years, and always wishing that someone would step up to the plate to help us. I want to thank you for what you're doing here at this church. You know, God places a very high value on the weaker members of the body. Bible says those that seem to be more feeble are necessary to the body also. God says that parts of the body that we don't think deserve honor, in his eyes, deserve more abundant honor. If we would take the time to get to know those that are different, take the time to get to know those that are weaker, take the time to get to know those that are disabled, if you will, friend, we'd learn some things. We'd learn some things. You know, we make judgments, don't we? Just like we talked about a little while ago. We see people that are weaker physically, maybe weaker mentally than we are, and we make judgments about them. But can I tell you something, friend? You get to know them, you'll find out there is great strength that God has given them that you and I don't possess. Strength that goes way beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Like I told you earlier, our son Johnny was 4'6" at 28 years old. He was just a little peanut, man. The scale never went over 100 pounds, even when he was wearing his leg braces and all his clothes. every time we'd go to the doctor. I mean, he was a feeble little thing. He was a weak little thing. He waddled when he walked. The last 2 years of his life, he spent most of it either pushing his walker or in a wheelchair. But I'm here to tell you something. God put a spirit inside that boy of strength, of power, that I've never seen in anybody else in my life. That young man had some strength that was far beyond what any of us could ever even imagine. Yeah, he was limited in what he could do, but can I say he did what he could? Johnny was a prayer warrior. If he found out somebody was sick, he began to pray for him. If he found out somebody was going to the hospital, he would pray for him. People would come up and ask Johnny to pray for him because they wanted him to be praying for them. One guy, he was scared to death of needles. He was going in for blood work. Johnny went, blood work, I mean, that's every week for me. This guy was scared of needles. He, oh, please, Johnny, pray for me. I'm going to go have blood drawn tomorrow. Johnny kind of go, okay, I'll pray for you. But he would. There's so many times my wife or I would catch Johnny on the side of his bed, kneel down, praying, doing what he could. About a year and a half before God took him home, he lived in pain. He lived in pain most of his entire life. I don't believe he ever knew a time in his life that he wasn't in pain, but the last 2 years were particularly difficult for him. And one night he went to his mom and he said, Mom, he said, would it be okay if I just sat on my bed and prayed? Because my knees hurt so bad when I kneeled down next to my bed. Would it be okay if I sat on my bed and prayed? Naturally, his mother said, no, you can't do that. You must be in the position of prayer, otherwise God won't hear what you have to say. Naturally, his mom said, of course, John. But we that are healthy, when's the last time we bent a knee and bowed our head and cried out to God? We visited here last May, and we went back during Sunday school and went to the class with the special needs kids. Man, we just had it. We had a good time back there. And Cheryl allowed me to go ahead and address them. And you know what? I wanted to talk to them. You know what I asked them to do? I asked them to pray for me. That's all I asked them to do. Pray for our ministry, because I want them praying for me. Amen. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for them, but man, I want them praying. Why? Because they can do that. They can do those things that they can do. We see many times, folks, we look at the people that are healthy and handsome and have so much to offer the church, and we miss those that have, that God says, these are the ones that are the most valuable. These are the ones that I want to give great value to, and that you and I need to get a different perspective on life and see the value in the weaker things that are in the church. The people that we look at as, well, they can't do much. Oh, friend, let me tell you something. They can do a lot. They're teachers. They'll teach you how to unconditionally love. They'll teach you how to overcome adversity. They'll teach you how to care for others. They will teach you how to have childlike faith, trusting God. They will get you out of your comfort zone. Oh, see, I'm a preacher, so I pick scabs every once in a while. We live in a comfort zone, don't we? We like our little, we make our Christian box up, and we put ourselves in this area and say, well, you know what? This is where I'm going to live. This is where I want to live. You know, God doesn't necessarily want you living in comfort, child of God. He wants you out of your comfort zone, doing the work that he wants you to do for his glory. Not just stay in our little comfortable area. Hey, and folks, people with special needs will get you out of your comfort zone. Amen. You know, a lot of times people feel that they're a problem. You know, we use our problems as an excuse, don't we? And we see those that are going through monumental task. Our son Johnny, he would dress himself in the morning. But you'd hear him in his room grunting, groaning, hearing Velcro ripping on his leg braces. You'd hear all this. It took him forever to get dressed. But it was something that he wanted to do on his own. I mean, I literally was running behind this morning. I wanted to get here. And I mean, I was dressed in 5 minutes. My tie strength looked okay. You know, we have to be careful. Being around people with special needs will give you a new perspective in life. It'll give you a perspective of how we look at people. Many people see people with special needs and they have the wrong vision. They can't see the value. The cost is way too high. Well, you know, they make a lot of noise in church. Amen. I pastored a deaf church for almost 8 years. Now, you want to talk about a noisy group? I'm serious. They are some of the noisiest people in the whole world because they can't hear the noise that they're making. Amen. But you know what, folks? Don't let it annoy you. Let it thrill your heart that this church is doing something special, reaching out to those that are less fortunate. See, God sees them as a necessity in the church. Many times we neglect to realize that for every special needs child, if you will, every special needs person, there's a caregiver. There's a family that need to be ministered to also. I read a statistic somewhere, or someone told me that 90% of people with special needs are completely unchurched. And I believe it. 90%, man, what a ministry. What an outreach. What an opportunity to be able to reach out and try to get folks that are weaker than you, weaker than I, and that are needed in the church to get them here and minister to them, minister to their needs, and the family that surrounds them. You have a great opportunity here to reach that community. Like I said earlier, I thank the Lord for Pastor Stewart and for his vision to have a ministry like this in this church. So there's the value of the body, there's the value of the bent, the bowed, and the broken. And then I want us to see the value of the blessing. Look back into Luke chapter 14, if you will. This will be my final point. Something that I think we miss a lot of times. The blessing that God has attached to reaching out to the disabled. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 12. Bible says, "Then he said also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast," catch this now, "call the poor, the maimed, the lamed, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." There's a blessing. A blessing from God as you reach out to those that are less fortunate, caring for those with special needs. Again, Jesus, he's at a feast and he looks around and he sees all the beautiful people, amen, that were invited to this feast. And he calls the guy over from that was holding the feast. He says, "You know what? Don't invite your neighbors and your rich friends to a feast. The comely parts, right? The parts that have no need." He said, "Invite the crippled, the poor, the blind. Invite them. And you know what? you'll be blessed because they can't pay you back. Hey, you know, we have a fellowship. We invite friends over, right? We have friends over the house, have them over for a barbecue or something. Hey, man, we invite our friends, and then we wait for their invitation, right? Because after all, now they owe us. They need to invite us over because we had them over. Jesus says, no, don't do that. Invite people over. Be with people. And again, friend, I don't believe I'm stretching the scriptures, but in the context of the church, we prepare a feast every Sunday, right? You're going to feast on the Word of God. You're going to feast in worship. You're going to feast on things of the things of God. And the Lord wants us to reach out to those that are a lot less fortunate than us. Have them come in. And he says, thou shalt be blessed in your deed. God wants to bless you as a church family. And God wants to bless you as an individual. God will bless a person that is willing to reach out to those that can never pay them back. You know, we all say we want God's blessing in our life, right? I want God's blessing. You want God's blessing. Well, friend, right here's a way that you can have God's blessing in your life by reaching out to those that are less fortunate. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't look at us as an inconvenience? Amen. Sang the song a little while ago. Hey, we were bound by sin, weren't we? We were crippled by sin. But Jesus went to the cross to pay for that sin. For my sin, for your sin. There's no way that we can ever pay him back. He gave us a free gift. You know, we talk about salvation being free, and it's free to you and me, but it cost Christ his life. He suffered and died for you and me. You may be here today and you're carrying a burden of sin. You're carrying a load today. Jesus says, come. He says, all that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Come to Christ today and be forgiven of your sin. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're here today with no hope. No hope, but the Lord will forgive you today if you ask. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, we're talking about adopting God's values. Let's look at life the way God sees life. Hey, how's your vision today? The value of the body? Do we make judgments concerning the value of other members of the church, other people we come in contact with? Be careful. Do we devalue ourselves by saying, you know what, I'm not that important. If I don't show up, it's no big deal. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Do you value your church? This family, this body that God has put together? The Lord wants you to love one another. Are you involved in this local body? Church this size, I'm sure there's always needs somewhere. And I know for sure there's needs in the ministry to the disabled. I know there is. Maybe God's speaking to someone's heart today. He says, you know what? I want God's blessing on my life, and I'm going to surrender. I'm going to get out of my comfort zone, and I'm going to serve God in that ministry. I hope the Lord's doing that this morning. I hope he's speaking to somebody. Remember, the feeble are necessary in the church. The question is, do we see them through God's eyes, or do we see them through our own? God gave us teachers. We need to learn from them. And then the value of God's blessing. Again, thank you, Mayfair, for reaching out to the disabled. You may be here and you want God's blessing in your life. Well, friend, surrender. Surrender to what God wants you to do. And then there's the greatest blessing of all. knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Are you here today and you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, I've been baptized. I didn't ask you that. Well, I'm a member of Mayfair Bible Church. I didn't ask you that. Have you personally trusted Christ as your Savior? Have you been made free from the burden of sin? Are you alive in Christ today? You say, I don't know that, Pastor. Then you know what you need to do? You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today. Don't leave this building without knowing you have a home in heaven. You have hope for the future. And then, friend, would you surrender to do whatever God wants you to do, even working with the disabled? Let's pray together. Father, we come to you now, and Lord, we thank you so much for your love. We thank you for this time. And Lord, what a great ministry this church has. But Lord, I believe you want to increase it. I know the pastor wants to. So Lord, I pray that you, Holy Ghost of God, you'd speak to hearts right now. Lord, you may have been dealing with someone for a long time that needs to get involved in this ministry. Lord, I pray that today they would surrender their heart to you. There may be someone here today, Christ, that does not know Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that you would speak to them, and today they would receive Christ, be born into the family of God. Father, I just pray that you would speak to hearts now in the quietness of this moment. With everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm just going to ask a question. Are you here today and you would say, I do not know whether my sins are forgiven? I came in this building with a burden of sin today, and I realize today that I can gain forgiveness from God by trusting Christ. And you say, Brother Ashley, God spoke to my heart. I need to be saved. I need to have my sins forgiven. Would you raise your hand and say, that's me? Is there anybody like that this morning? You just put your hand up and put it down. I'll just pray for you. Anyone? All right, children of God, you're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Would you say with an uplifted hand today, God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that? Just lift a hand up. God spoke to my heart today. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. God bless you. Many hands. Father, you've seen the hands that have been raised. Lord, you, only you know the need of each heart and the person that raised it. Father, I pray that you would just help them be obedient, give them the strength, give them the courage they need to obey you as they go forward for Jesus Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.